The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of Clear Channel Radio, nor should they be regarded as legal or investment advice. Seek qualified counsel before acting on any views expressed in this show.
This is Investor IQ with Glenn Wessel, where you hear straight talk about financial topics that impact you. Got a tax, financial, or investment question? As a CPA and holder of the Certified Financial Planner and Chartered Financial Analyst credentials, Glenn Wessel's the guy to ask. Now, here's Glenn.
And a good morning to everyone this early Halloween morning. Thanks for spending some of it with us here on Investor IQ. My name is Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ, and I'm flanked this morning by Forrest Lanier Connor on the knobs over there.
Correct.
And Rob Simon is with us as well. He's an analyst.
Good morning.
Good morning. Forrest, you dressing up this
I am.
Halloween?
I am. I've actually got this big headless waiter looking guy that I'm going to dress up as. Actually, last night I went to a Halloween party. That's why I'm a little tired this morning.
So. Yeah, that sounds good. I happen to be shopping in Walmart, which I guess I could admit that we actually shop there.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
I see enough other people there. I guess it's safe to say that. And I saw Bernie Madoff. The mask.
You're kidding.
You know, so I pretty much understand that we will know, Rob, that we have failed when we see our mask on the shelf of Walmart. You know what I mean? Anyway, so far so good. Well, this morning we're going to address just a couple of topics that a couple of listeners have emailed to us. The first segment here, what we're going to address is a financial planning topic that seems to be a regularly made mistake by quite a number of people. Rob, why don't you read the question that was posed
earlier
this week.
We had a lady write in and ask that her husband has recently died, and she's since sold off their home and wants a fresh start by moving into a newer, smaller one. Instead of having a new will drafted, she's thinking of adding her children's names to the home as joint tenants. And she's wondering what would be the problems of this if it's a good way to pass assets on to them.
Right. So she could do this, of course. It's certainly a shortcut, but in my view, that would create many more headaches than it's likely to solve because there are a sundry of things that will happen, that could happen, that people would not typically be aware of. The bottom line, I'll give that to you first, is that taking title as a joint tenant with anyone other than a spouse is generally a really bad idea. So let's delve into it just a bit more. On the plus side, it's quick, it's easy, and it certainly is a substitute for a will. However, the joint tenancy process, even though it allows one to avoid probate, that shouldn't necessarily be the goal. So let's take a look at some of the negatives, which are numerous here, and some of them are very, very negative. The first problem is that by putting her children's names on the title to her home, she will probably unwittingly make taxable gifts to each of those children. So there's a section of the Internal Revenue Code that deals specifically with gift tax, and this would be something that the IRS could challenge that would be a taxable gift. So for those of you who are more up to speed with respect to gift tax issues, $13,000 could be excludable per donor, per donee, per year. But the problem is if she's going to be putting her children's names on the house, she's in essence giving away three quarters of the asset to her children, which would entail more than $13,000 for each child. So that would be mistake number one. Another issue is that as soon as she puts their names on her house then becomes subject to the claims of their creditors. So if a child is going to be declaring bankruptcy or maybe going through a divorce and has an unhappy spouse, or if that child practices law or medicine or in some capacity where that person is open to legal claims of other people, the lawsuit that someone else might file would try to attach to whatever assets that person has title to, which would include his or her mom's house. Excuse me. So that would be a bad idea from that standpoint. Once the children's names are added to that house, they become legal title owners. or title holders, which means because it's real estate, she would not be able to dispose of that property unless the children agreed to it, nor would she be able to borrow against that property. So, for instance, if she wanted to go down to BB&T or Wachovia or something like that, what is it, Wells Fargo now, and take a home equity line of credit, those children would have to each provide their signature more than likely. So it opens the door for another possibility of just general deadlocks to the extent that she wants to do something with that house that even just one child would not approve of. That child would, in essence, probably have veto power over the transaction. So, you know, in addition to not being able to sell or borrow, any other transaction that would be involving that house could, in effect, be vetoed by any one of the children. Another problem is by putting those kids on the title to the property, she didn't say how old they were, but let's assume that one or more of the children were minors. Well, that would be a problem because a minor can't take title to a house. But even if the child were of the age of majority, 21 or older, I believe, in the state of North Carolina, it doesn't mean that child is necessarily mature. So to the extent that child is not mature, the moment she passes on, that house, the title transfers immediately to that child, whether or not he or she is mentally capable of managing that property. So this is where a trust would kind of come in handy, where you could have a provision saying that the trust will take the house until the child turns 30 or 35 or however it's drafted. There's another issue. When assets transfer at death, they very often receive something called a step-up in basis. In essence, a step-up in basis allows you to report a smaller profit or gain when that asset is eventually sold. But some or all of that, or at least a good portion of that step-up in basis, would be lost because three-quarters of that asset would not flow through her estate anymore at death because she already gave it away. So anyway, that wraps it up. The bottom line here is that she probably needs to seek counsel from a qualified attorney who probably specializes in estate planning issues. So that wraps up this segment. We'll be back in just a moment. My name is Glenn Wessel. This is Investor IQ. Happy Halloween.